Hello, listeners. Welcome back to Challenges of Faith radio program. My name is Tayshia Evans, and we have
Gary McCants.
Okay, thank you. It looks like we have some listeners that are new out in Amsterdam, the Netherlands, Barcelona, Spain, Nairobi, Kenya, Selangor, Malaysia, Dayton, Ohio, Norman, Oklahoma, Austin, Texas, Nashville, Tennessee, Chicago, Brunswick, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and Washington, D.C. So listeners from all over the globe, all over the country. Tonight, it looks like we are going to be continuing our talk on relationships, and today's topic is going to be Mr. or Miss Employed, a.k.a. We Have a Job.
Wow. Well, listeners, as you know, it's always an honor to be with you, and it's always a humble honor to have Tayshia, you know, because she, you know, without Tayshia, the program would not be complete, especially her responses that everyone looks for when you're on. But we always start off with providing definitions, you know, whether it's from the secular standpoint or spiritual. So stay tuned, and as we go through the expoundment, because as we near the end, that's when we're really going to talk about it, as Tayshia so indicated with the opening title. But the most important thing to ask is, well, why do people work in the first place? Because, you know, that's really an easy question for any of us to really talk about, but is it really? Because when you think about the various individuals or the various cultures, irrespective of where you happen to live, everyone have their own reason. But we know for sure that money, you know, because people work to make money. And we know that you're going to need money in order to have some food going inside your stomach or to pay for a roof being over your head if you're blessed to have a job or blessed to have a place in which to go into, sit down, lay down, and take baths or showers or whatever, or and to have fun with your genuine friends and your family. But before we continue on, as I normally do, I always like to turn to Tayshia and ask her, when we starting off as we are, what say you as relates to?
Well, I do think that we are taught to basically go after a job because it is really the simplest and most easiest way to make a living and to actually take care of your basic needs. So I definitely agree that jobs are pretty essential for learning at least how to start making income to just take care of, like you said, your food, having a roof over your head, clothes on your back, things like that. And, you know, also having fun with people that you care about as well. If you can make a little bit of additional income from working, then that's good too.
And listeners, if you're not aware, and I know you should be by now, but again, we have continual new listeners. Tayshia is the CEO of Evans International. So tonight's topic as relates to not just finances, but as we continue on, it's going to be interesting for those of you because, again, we're talking about from an employment standpoint, maybe not like what you think, but stay tuned and hear us out. But also when we're talking about working, because that's employment, we're talking about why do people work? How about from the independent standpoint? Because as you know, money isn't the only reason to work. You know, working can also give a person more independence and more control over your own life. Because you know that when you're working, you know you're learning new things, you're getting those additional skills, and like Tayshia just alluded to, making friends with people that you meet also on your job. Tayshia, what say you?
Well, I do think that the main reason why most people do start going to work is to really just start making that income. I've always said that if there were any skills or things that I wanted to learn, I would either be paying for it, like in a school situation, or I would be volunteering my time for the most part. So I think the main reason why people do go after a job, not maybe necessarily a career, is just for the money aspect, to provide all the things that money can provide, really.
And we also learned that people work to be a part of and contribute to whatever community you happen to live in. And that means that, as you know, jobs exist not only for your benefit, but also to help others. And if you give an example, let's say you have a job in the office and maybe you're delivering an intramail. So right then and there, when you look at it, you're really helping the whole office out because you're getting things done, especially from a team perspective. And, you know, like Tayshia has just mentioned, how about from the financial well-being, you know, to earn and to learn, and if you want to live somewhere specifically, or if you want to be with a loved one, build a new life or a home or to start a family, you got to have that transitional position while you kind of ponder things and, you know, contemplate things, especially if you love to travel. And I know Tayshia probably loves to travel because international is international. But it's also a stepping stone to something you want to do later on. And then for those of you who are getting out of college or moving out of your parents' home or just starting out, sometimes accepting a new position is all about independence. Tayshia, what say you?
When getting out of school, a lot of times people do internships. Sometimes they're paid and sometimes they're not. But we are really taught to kind of start at the bottom with our jobs, kind of entry level, and start learning more as you go up. Now, like, you may get a job that's not entry level coming out of college because of maybe your experience and things that you've done outside of school, but you kind of do start more towards the bottom and work your way up if that's the kind of career path that you do want to follow.
You know, also having a job, because you got to remember, listeners, that which we are talking about from the initial standpoint is headed toward the reasons why it's important to work. But having a job also has that positive impact, especially on your community, because it also benefits your personal interests. Think about it. If you're feeling, you know, stuck, you know, standing still or just doing something for X or Y reason, and you know you're excited and you wish you could do more, and then all of a sudden it's time to get up and you're just going to the same old job, doing the same old rut, and it's good that you have a job, but wait a minute. Are you having a positive impact on your community? And while doing that, are you also benefiting your personal interests as well? Tayshia, what say you?
Well, I think it's very easy to kind of get stuck in a rut. I like to think of it as like running on a hamster wheel because you're constantly doing the same thing over and over every day, but you're not really going anywhere. You're just staying in the same place. So I think it's good to find a career that is going to help you to move forward, not only in your job title per se, but also it's going to add more value to your life. Financially, it'll add value to you so that you're able to do more things with your family or have a little bit less stress if you have maybe a health challenge or something come up. So I think it's important to kind of think about the future of where your job is going to go, because I know for me that was one thing I didn't really think about going to school. I kind of just picked something that I thought I would like to do. And then I started to kind of realize that I probably would create more of the lifestyle that I want for my family by working and having a business on the side, basically having more than one kind of income coming in. So I think just remembering not really what you want to do or what job title you want to have, but I always like tell myself, like, what kind of life do I actually want to live? And then go backwards from that as to, okay, what job is going to provide me with enough income, enough time, work-life balance is going to provide me the life I want to live long-term.
And that's so, so true. And listeners, you know, I was reminded while Tayshia was sharing how that I remember at 27 working 18 different projects at the same time. And though it's good to go to work and be at work and do all those exciting things and so forth, But at the same time, if you're not careful, it can take a toll if you really haven't pondered it at all. And that's why we're really on the relational topics. You know, we're talking about 99-plus characters, and I think we're on topic number 24, only on topic number 24. But the next question is, how many of you listeners are working from an emotional standpoint? Yes, from an emotional standpoint. Remember now, we're talking about why you're working in the first place. You know, Mr. or Miss or Mr. Employed, also known as we have a job. Because you got to remember, you know, it's not only applicable to one, but it's applicable to the other person as well. Think about it. Your whole life, you've tied your whole identity to your job. And not only your job, your self-esteem, you know, your self-value. And just think about it from the emotional standpoint. It goes down. After you lose your job, and there are those of you across the globe that experienced a job loss during the COVID-19 and other factors. And that's when you have to make a conscious effort to stay positive, especially as you search for another position. You're battling internally while unemployed. And you know you are, and that's why it's important to take that pride, lay it aside. And if there's somebody in your life that's real, and you keep hearing me say that along these topics, because you can have many multiple people in your life, but are they real? And when I correlate that realness to, are they there to help build you up, and I'm not talking about your ego, E-G-O. Are they there adding additional weight to that which you are struggling with internally? Because you feel you no longer belong, or you're not contributing to society, or not able to provide for yourself or your family. And that in itself is an embarrassment that you believe for your life. And it's leading you to avoid socializing and causing emotional and health issues like depression, rejection, and challenges to your sense of worth, and not only to you. You got to remember that which affects you is also affecting that one that surrounds you, especially if they care about you. Tayshia, what say you?
Well, I want to agree with the first thing that you talked about, people having their identity attached to their job. Because I think the scariest thing that I see when I am meeting people and networking, and what I've also seen in the past year or so with the pandemic, is that when you ask people who they are or what do, they always just say, I'm a teacher, I'm an engineer, I'm a lawyer. They correlate who they are to their job title. And I think it's really essential for people to not just be a job title, to understand that they are someone's sister, they are someone that maybe likes to help other people in their profession, they're someone that likes to teach other people and educate people. They're more than just whatever your job title is, because as we've seen, that job title can pretty much be taken away from you at any moment. And if you don't have your job title, that means you're nothing. If you're no longer a teacher, then that means you're literally nothing anymore. And I think that a lot of people have become maybe depressed or have a lot of emotional turmoil because they did attach so much of their identity to that one job position, and they weren't able to really, I guess, put that pride aside and go into something that maybe they thought they never would be doing, even if it is temporary. So I definitely agree with having an identity outside of just the job title, because the job title can really change, and who you are is really something that is more consistent and should be more consistent and more true to the inside and how you think and the actions that you take. And I also think that it is really important for people to have those authentic relationships. I've been reading a book lately by Lisa Bevere. I think her and her husband have a ministry that they run. And she was really talking about how people can be real but that doesn't mean that they're necessarily authentic. Someone could be a real authentic person, or they could be a real fake person. Someone could have a real Mona Lisa painting, and they could also have a real replica of a Mona Lisa painting. And that kind of just made me think that just because someone says that they're real doesn't necessarily mean that they are. Maybe they're just being that way to you, and it appears that way, and that's how you're perceiving it. So just making sure that you are actually having authentic relationships and friendships with people that are going to be there to uplift you throughout any type of difficult times or transitioning times that you do have. So I definitely agree with everything that you've said about just having identity and being around authentic people and having those real relationships.
Wow, wow, wow. So listeners, now you know why Tayshia is co-host, getting out all that in-depth information. You know, and again, keeping in mind, as she just shared, as relates to the titles and being attached to them, because, you know there are a lot of individuals, irrespective of where the zip code is. And when you hear me say zip code, that just simply means that where one resides, because the system around the globe, that's one way they're able to discern, you know, what your finances are. They're able to discern. They know nothing about you, the person, depending. But able to discern whether you're through your zip code, whether you live in the poor, the middle class, or the wealthy neighborhood. Though from a spiritual, biblical standpoint, there is no middle class. It's just the poor and the rich. But also, as Tayshia so indicated, I was reminded when she was talking about real and titles, because I write about relationships and professionally have had to study and continue to do so. But I'm reminded of a person that's real as it relates to an individual, with a title. They had a doctorate title. And what they did, they had always dreamt of becoming a doctor. Remember now, you got to ask the question, what type of doctor are we talking about? Because a lot of people get caught up in those titles without really knowing the meaning behind each one. And so this particular person had aspired that one day they were going to become a doctor, and they did. But what they did with their title was to travel in and out of the country, and it went about finding ladies, professional ladies with titles. And once they found those ladies, they used their doctorate background to manipulate their minds to where they were going out purchasing things that they had no knowledge of why that person wanted them to purchase things that could have been harmful to others. And they were using those ladies, misusing them, until one day the ladies had to wake up. And again, it could be applicable to guys as well. But when they woke up, they learned on time that the reason why that person with that doctorate title was doing that was because when they were little, they would watch their mom date guys, and the guys would stop by. And whatever was going on with them emotionally caused them to think for themselves to the degree that once they got older that they were going to go out and just misuse the ladies. That was their motive. And the second part, when we talk about titles, and it all comes back to work, is that there was a guy, could be a lady, but it was a guy. And he would go around, he would brag about his title, and he would make it clear that he had a PhD, all caught up in the titles. And no one would ask him, okay, so where did you get your PhD from, and what does it mean? And so one day while he was bragging, you know, now he was really using his ego while he was thinking he was soaring, you know, up in the sky. Well, one day someone asked him, so now what does that PhD mean? And he arrogantly said, well, you don't know what a PhD means. And the person asked him, responded, said, no, what does it mean? And he said, well, my particular PhD is a temp hustler degree. And they asked him, well, where did you get that from? And he said, well, from SWU. And they said, well, where is that at? You know, Sidewalk University. And so just like what Tayshia and I are talking about, what we've been talking about in all these relational topics, tonight just happened to be the employment standpoint. You can come in contact with individuals who they're real with the titles, and they're real as individuals. But did you really hear what Tayshia was saying as relates to was the lips, are the lips matching the shoes, so that therefore, irrespective of who you meet on a day-by-day basis, that when you walk away or when you come in contact with them, irrespective of the title, even if they're clinging to their title, for whatever the reasons are, but at least they're real with you while carrying that title. You know it's important. But did you also know being unemployed puts you at a higher risk for depression, diabetes, hypertension, health-wise? Did you know that, listeners? Did you know that unemployment causes uncertainty that's leading to stress? And if you have some form of a family that you and they are going to have to adjust to a new lifestyle that excludes your normal paid activity and restaurants, you know, the ones that you normally go to, and you're no longer going to be able to leave that house or one stay-at-home parent, or especially now despite the virus and all the ups and downs of you can go, you can't go, but you're now going to have to enter the work world, you know, part-time for that needed income that you know you need. What say you, Tayshia?
Well, I definitely agree that the stress of not being able to make a living, that's definitely something that is very real. We experienced a lot of that during the pandemic, especially because maybe some people never experienced that before, of having such a long period where not only did they lose their job, but there's just nothing is open. They're not really able to get another job maybe in that field. So I definitely think that it is something that you have to be conscious of. But I always try to tell myself and remind myself that God will supply all of my needs, even if I don't see it right away or I feel like, you know, I don't have enough money for something or I don't have enough time to do something or I just feel like there's things I need but I just don't have them yet. I typically don't have stress related to money anymore. One, because I just realize it's something that it's just a commodity pretty much that we just need to make and then exchange for things that we need. But also I do believe in tithing even when I don't have a lot. And I do believe that God really will supply all of my needs. So even if I don't see any changes immediately or in the next week or couple days, I still choose to believe that. And continue to, you know, if I need to look for a job or you need to do something to kind of make the change as well. But while you're making those changes and taking action to change the situation, just have more faith that you're actually will be taken care of. I think that that has reduced a lot, if not all of my stress completely in regards to any type of financial or career challenge that I've had, you know, in the past year or so.
And listeners, again, for those of you who are in a genuine relationship, it allows you to know, in case you didn't, and I know you do, to know that that other person that's in your life, that apart from what you're seeing from them on the outside, you know, the facial expressions and so forth, what's really going on with them, stress-wise, health-wise, and what's really going on with you? Open your lips and talk to the other person. It's a genuine relationship. Remember now, when the communication die out, the relationship is right behind it, dying out. But how about the effects upon the children? Because you got to remember now, those kids may internalize their fear And that causes health and school performance issues, whether they are attending in person or Zoom-wise. It doesn't make a difference. And again, we're talking about those couples out there that's facing those changes in your relationship that's going to affect your expectation upon each other and accepted roles. In addition to that, added financial pressure, like Tayshia just indicated, that may cause one to have to go out and seek a job. And then when you try to go out, then you learn you're being turned down for 12 million reasons and 11 million don't make sense. But can you imagine the past year that the lockdowns and the virus and how it affected everyone, but also how it brought people together? Tayshia, what say you as we continue on?
Well, I do think that because there were so many people that maybe couldn't afford to get food or just needed assistance, I do think it brought a lot of people together. I know in my community here in Buffalo specifically, there were a lot more food pantries and food banks that opened up, pet food banks even for people who have pets that maybe like couldn't afford it. A lot of people, and even myself, I would buy like supplies for people if I seen them, just because I knew some people either physically couldn't get to the store because they didn't want to get sick, and they truly were compromised, and it would have been really bad for them to get the virus, or people that just really needed a lot of different supplies. Maybe they didn't have the immediate funds to like stock up on canned food and get disinfected and get toilet paper. So I think that it definitely did bring a lot of people together because it was sort of a panic that a lot of people were in. And I think that after the first couple of months, once people kind of realized that this is going to be going on for a longer time than we really think, things kind of calmed down into more of, I don't need to hoard 50 or 100 rolls of toilet paper. I can actually get enough for a month and make sure everyone else, you know, has some as well, or looking out for neighbors as well and things like that. So, yeah.
Yeah, and see, Tayshia just used some classic example of bringing people together. And then the last one, because I was reminded of being in a store, and they were putting down the lines and how many feet you got to be behind each other and so forth. And I remember this one person, they came into the store all chest all loud, and they grabbed two carts, and they overfilled them, and they walked up to cash them out, and they really felt proud. And so I looked at them out of respect, and I just asked them, hey, did you consider your neighbors inside the store? And they just looked at me, and I just asked them out of respect, maybe the next time, think about your neighbors. How about little or no income causing you to miss those payments? Or paying late that affects your credit score? Listeners, we're talking about why you're working. And we always start off with the definitions, you know, whether from the secular and the biblical. But you notice what Tayshia said early on when she introduced God. And I know that the listeners to the program are of faith and not of faith. Because remember, you know, whatever's being shared, just apply that to your life that you know you could and should and ought for your life. But at least Tayshia is acknowledging that irrespective of what's going on around her, she keeps God in the center of it with pride, a different type of pride. She acknowledges how that with her relationship with God, that she keeps him in mind, knowing that irrespective of what she have or what she don't have, that he's going to be there with her and for her. So having said that, let's examine working from a biblical perspective. Have you thought about, since the Bible is a book about God, and God shows up where God's people spend their time, which is mostly at work. So let me talk to the believers right now. You know, the Christian, the one that's working. Did you know that a working Christian is a reflection of a working God who created the universe and is still at work in all of our lives? Did you know that believers are not to be slothful or lazy? Did you know that we're to do honest work and to be hardworking in all we do, not workaholics? You heard me allude to, actually I was 26. And the job, though it required doing 18 different projects at once, that is and was crazy. That was unwise. But you and I, we must work with excellence and righteousness because we are a representation of God. And we got to always remember that when you are at work, that you're working for the Lord, not humans or human. And while working, we're to use our time wisely. You know, over in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 through 17, it says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. And also work to provide for your family. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. It says, anyone who does not provide for the relatives, and especially for their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. And then last, before I turn to Tasha and ask for Tasha's thoughts, work is ordained by God, in case you didn't know. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 27 through 28, it tells us that. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish and the sea and the birds and the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Tasha, what say you?
Well, I think from the things that I have been reading and just things that I've also read and applying them to my business, I know that God does reward hard work. I know that being consistent and also understanding that, like you said, you're not really working just to work. You're not really working to get recognition from other people and to kind of maybe have like that fame or be better than other people. You're really working to fulfill a purpose that God has for you. And I think that when you are working and that is your mindset, I think you automatically will work harder because you know that you're doing it to fulfill an important purpose that only you can fulfill. That doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be easy all the time because life is not easy. But if you know that this is something that you have to do, and you have faith, then you will choose to continue to push through that. So I think knowing what your purpose is in what you are doing for work is definitely helpful when you start understanding more about what is said in the Bible in regards to hard work and rewards for hard work and for continuing to just live out that purpose.
You know, and what's interesting is that what Tasha was sharing and I was listening to was the fact that, think about it, when we talk about self-esteem and self-value and your motive for working is what we're talking about, could you imagine that you're in a relationship and you're trying to share with the other person that your only existence, the only reason is to get up and go outside your door to go to a job, and the person that happened to be your supervisor or CEO or whatever that title happened to be, that You're just there to please them, and you're talking about another human being who, even in their own life, may be up and down irrespective of their title. But also, you know, the word lets us know that, you know, we're not supposed to be walking around like busybodies and not doing a job while on the job, and that we should be minding our own business. And over in Proverbs, it tells us, do not love sleep or you will grow poor. Stay awake and you will have food to spare. Well, in order to get that food, in order to be able to pay for it, you got to work. Because we see how that God uses a job to provide for our necessities. And the word lets us know in Thessalonians that even while we were with you, we gave you this command, those unwilling to work will not get to eat. And so you got to remember, you know, men, did you tell that lady in your life that that's where you find your positive pride at, is by working? Because she may want to know why you're working all the time. And ladies, did you know that that's where men find their pride at, is in working? And there's diverse reasons, but you ain't got to be no workaholic. And did you know that while you're out there working, that you also can give to others? Kind of like what Tayshia was sharing. Are you giving to others as God leads you? Or are you just being so selfish? Well, the question is before you to ponder. But work is there for a reason, especially from a biblical reason. There are many, 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 many other verses. But the bottom line is, did you know that work develops us and helps us mature, and that our unethical coworkers and supervisors and other work situations help us grow, especially to glorify God? I've met many, many people, and they know who they are, with titles, with true authority, power, but they're unethical. Goes back to a relationship. Do anything to get money. Lie, steal, cheat, mislead, deceive. But for the believer, our Savior expects more. And Matthew says, you are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. And so as a believer, when you go out your door to that job with your chest out in a positive way, God has blessed you to have a health, eyes to see, ears to hear. And if you don't, He still bless you to be able to go out to a job, not only while upbuilding self but others. But on that job, you're supposed to be a light. You're not supposed to be doing like everybody else wrong. Tayshia, what say you as we head to tonight's relationship topic?
Well, I definitely think that the more that you love money and put that first, the further away that you are from God. And I do think that if you have such a love for money, God is not going to bless you with more of it. I mean, you may be able to, like you said, lie for it or steal for it, and you may be able to accumulate more of it, but you're not going to really, not only are you going to not have any real substance or value on the money because you're not earning it, you're not getting it in a way that is right at that point, but you're also not going to have a relationship with God at that point. And if you are a believer, that is the number one thing. So I think that you can be blessed to have more income and to have an abundance, but I think that will all relate on, number one, what do you do with the money that God gives you? Because if you are hoarding it, then he's probably not going to continue to just give you more money to spend on yourself. And if you are constantly focus on that, then I don't think that it's not easy to be responsible with money when that's all you really think about. Versus if you're thinking about the good things that you can do with it, then it becomes a little bit easier to actually relax about thinking about it and kind of just focus on the things that are more important besides just the actual money itself.
All right. That reminded me of a story where there was a guy who had gotten called out in the middle of the night, and he owned a business. And when he arrived at his business, along with the firefighters, he learned that his business was burning down, and it burnt down to the ground. And some of the people standing by, they were looking and watching him, and they asked him, well, you know, aren't you just so upset, you know, don't you want to take your hands and pull your hair out of your head and all of that? He said, no, and they looked at him, you know, and of course now as the smoke was simmering and so forth, the firefighters moved close, you know, along with everybody else, and they wanted to hear his response. And he said, no, and they said, well, why aren't you overtly acting that way? Why aren't you upset and stressed out? He told them, listen, God gave it to me, and God took it away. He allowed it to be taken away. He knew where his blessings had came from. He knew through the trials, the challenges of his faith. Only he knew where he's been. Only he knew what his growth has been. Only he knew what God has done for him when no one else was around. So he knew to rely on God, that everything is for a reason in our life. Just like the top there, those of you who are listening, you didn't really tune in by accident. You didn't tune in just to hear Tayshia and Gary. If you did, that's the wrong motive, because all we're doing is just sharing what we know. And whatever we're supposed to share, that if there's a nugget in there for you, may God take that nugget and cause you to ponder. And that leads to what Tayshia was saying, what tonight's program is about. Mr. or Miss Employee, also known as we have a job. And I know there are those of you who thought we were into the program. We are. But we're now into the program because now we want you to ponder about it. And just think about it. Here are two individuals that I don't know if they went before God and prayed about it. I don't know, because, you know, they're believers, you know, followers of Christ. You know, like prodigal sons and prodigal daughters who may not be in a right relationship with God. And so they're out there. And maybe it's you who fit this description. As long as you have a job, you're wanted. It doesn't matter that you have baggages of despair, financial and emotional problems, unsupported children from previous relationships, former possessive partners, jealous so-called friends. Do you have a job? No car? That's okay. Mr. or Miss Employee just needs someone to help pay the mounting bills, car and house note, groceries, etc., nothing else. Now, I want y'all to think about that before I turn it over to Tayshia. All that you heard us talk about thus far is the opposite of where we're headed. Here's a person. It doesn't make a difference whether it's the lady or the guy or the lady. They're employed. All they're looking for in their relationship is another person that have a job. They don't care what your past is. They don't care whether or not you're coming into the relationship with them with baggages of despair. They don't care if you got financial problems. They don't care what's going on inside of them from an emotional standpoint. It could very well affect them. They don't care whether you're possessive or not, whether you're jealous. They don't care. They don't care whether you don't have a car. They just want to know if you have a job so that you can help pay those bills that they got. Nothing else. Tayshia, what say you?
I definitely agree with everything that you mentioned, for sure. I think that just being able to again, know what the purpose of your job and everything you're going after. I think knowing that is definitely important, and keeping God at the center of it is what is going to really help you determine how you're going to make the best decisions when it comes to that and those relationships as well.
So listeners, you really want to think about this. Think about those of you who maybe during this virus, you know, you dropped your protection guard. And while dropping your protection guard, remember now, you're not wanting, I know you're not, at least I hope you're not wanting to become a relational victim or a victim of some type of crime just to have a relationship. Because you never know when you look out there globally of those individuals who are causing harm in that relationship because of those unchecked emotional problems. Well, here's some food for pondering for you. You know, question time. Tayshia and I never try to tell you what to do or what to think. We just lay it out there for you. But where is this relationship headed? What do you say, Tayshia?
Well, I think that in one way, it can be positive to have pride in your job or have pride in your purpose. But I also think, as we kind of discussed a little bit earlier, that it can also be very negative if someone is only thinking about their job and they're not making time for their family or to invest in their relationships. And then I think that's when the money kind of becomes more important. I think that you have to determine priorities. And if your purpose, it really is important, then you do have to prioritize that, but you can't trade that also for your family or for people that you care about. You still do have to make time for them and not just completely neglect them or even neglect, you know, time growing spiritually. You still want to be able to keep things that are important at the forefront.
And listeners, you know, on some earlier programs, remember now this is program number 24, we used an example of there were two individuals who, prior to them getting married, becoming one, not clones, they both agreed that one of the party would quit work. And as time went along, there began to be tension in the relationship until the both of them sat back down. And when they sat back down in an open communication to define what each of them meant, one person said, listen, I agreed to quit work for good. The other person said, well, no, that's not what I meant. I agreed that you would quit work for a little bit. They said the same thing but meant something altogether different. But here's the case. Where in this particular relationship, where this person is just looking for somebody that got a job, what happens when that person loses a job? What happens to the relationship then? Because you got to remember, the only reason why they want you in that relationship is because you have a job. And through that job, all they want from you is to help them pay them bills, all those notes that they may have. That's the only reason they want you in that relationship. You didn't hear them say anything. They wanted you, and we'll talk about that in other programs. But you didn't hear them say they wanted you for your body. You didn't hear them say they wanted you for your mind. You heard them clearly say in the beginning, in this relationship, they wanted you for your job. They didn't care what your title was. They wanted you for your job, for their purpose. Can this relationship be a long-term success? What say you, Tayshia?
Well, I don't think that the relationship really could be something that will be successfully long-term if that is the main reason why the person is with you. It's kind of like a title thing. If they are with you because you have a particular job, I don't really believe that that is a very genuine reason where you will be with that person, because kind of like you said, like what happens if the person loses a job, then that person is no longer there anymore. So I don't really see a relationship that's really based off of someone having a particular job title as solid, kind of the same way that we've talked about other, you know, job titles or statuses with fame or popularity, things like that. I don't think those are solid reasons for a real covenant relationship that will be long-term to stand on.
And the interesting part is either one of those persons need to be careful, because if they weren't a workaholic, the one may cause them to be, just so that they could make sure that all those bills are paid for. But again, if something happens to the one that loses their job, then all of a sudden those emotional problems and baggages of despair and finances and so forth that they themselves had is going to now come to the forefront. Why is Mr. or Miss employed in need of a partner in order to be financially secure? What say you, Tayshia?
Well, I would say probably someone that also values their job, probably someone that actually values making a living, because I think someone that enjoys working and they like to have money, they like to actually feel secure, I think it would be difficult for them to go and have a relationship with someone that maybe doesn't have the same mindset. I think most people in this day and age, if they had a choice, they would choose not to struggle for money. They would choose to have more of stability than less, more ability to provide for their family than less ability to provide for their family. So for this particular person, Mr. or Miss Job, I think that they would want someone that also values having a job in any sense, at least, and wants to contribute together to having a better life and being able to give more and things of that nature.
I agree. Now, should the person's past matter? Why or why not?
I mean, I believe everyone has a past, whether that past includes good things or bad things that either you've done or things that have been done to you. But I think more so where you are, your relationship with God and the actions that you currently are taking, I think matters more than your past, because if you were someone that maybe wasn't doing the right things, maybe you didn't care about finances, maybe you were someone that stole money or, you know, did things that just were not necessarily correct, if you're focusing more on now having a relationship with God, being a better person, treating other people with respect, working hard, making sure that you are having that work-life balance, making time for your family, I think that speaks a lot more volumes than someone that maybe has that past and they're still living the same way. I don't think that it would be wise to go into a relationship with someone that is basically still living in the past. But I think if that person truly has changed and there is actual evidence of that change and you can see that, you know, I think that's what's most important.
Well, well said. Tayshia, listeners, I want to, before I turn it back over to Tayshia for the next topic, next program topic, and then for Tayshia to close the program out for us tonight. But I want to, from my end, conclude with three separate stories because of who you are as listeners. The first one is, and we've talked about it in the past other than the final story, but for the listeners who are not of faith and what you've heard Tayshia share, because really she's been talking about it from the standpoint of irrespective of who the persons are, does the lips match the shoes? I'm talking about ingenuineness. So for those of you who are not of faith, the story is told of a guy and a girl. You can reverse the roles because that's important. But it happened to be a guy. And he told his lady, you know, the woman in his life, well, he wanted her to be in his life, you know, a relationship. Remember now, the questions we're talking about tonight is for you to ponder on for your life. But he said to her, you know, I love you, and I'll climb the highest mountain just to be with you. And only she knew how she felt on the inside, where those emotions take place. But she had some friends, and only they know if they were genuine friends for her life. So she went back and told them. And they were like, he's lying. Now notice how they judged him. They didn't know him, hadn't spent any quality time around him. But they just automatically said, he's lying. Maybe it was based upon their past relationships with somebody. But out of the friends, there was one that on the inside of their mind, they liked what he said. And so the one that he said he would climb the highest mountain for defended him. And she told her friends that, no, he was real. Kind of like what Tayshia was talking about tonight. She said, no, he was real because he is scared of heights, you know, of climbing. And he would do that just for me. So she went back and he said, listen, I love you so much, I would swim the deepest ocean just for you. And she went back to her friends and told them. And of course, they said the same thing. And the one that was thinking about it on the inside really liked what he was saying. So, of course, she defended him again. She went back and then he said, listen, I'm going to stop by and see you on Wednesday if it doesn't rain. And she was shocked, and she had a right to be, you know, a relationship. She went back and told her friends, and they said, I told you he was lying. And the one that kept everything on the inside that liked what he was saying, well, she didn't have to reveal herself to her friends. But it woke the one that he liked up. Why? Wait a minute. If you're willing to climb the highest mountain and swim to the deepest ocean all for me, and you claim you love me, then what's a little rain going to stop you from coming to see me? Again, Tayshia and I are talking about relationships. We're just filling in the blanks. It doesn't make a difference what title you have or what the topic is. You're going to have to think about it for you, nobody else, though it may affect somebody else. The second story, it's for that prodigal son or prodigal daughter out there that's not relying on God like Tayshia was sharing, irrespective of what the trial happens to be. And here's that person that's gone out to that well of water every day or that pond, and they prayed, oh, God, send me somebody. You know, kind of like the guy and the lady tonight's story, you know, who just want somebody with a job. And so there was an owl sitting in that tree listening to them pray. Now, that believer, before they got off balance with God and that relationship that's supposed to be real, they knew enough about the word that they knew that if they weren't in a right relationship with God, that their prayer was really just hitting the ceiling, coming back down. But that didn't stop them from praying. And so they kept going out praying to God for somebody to be in their life. And so finally, the one day that they were praying, they were really praying. They were crying, hitting the ground. They were jumping through hoops. They were doing everything. And on that one day, that owl, you know, OWL sitting in that tree was looking at them and watching them. And so I think maybe the owl got tired of it too and finally said, who? And that out of fellowship believer said, anybody, just send me anybody, kind of like the people in the story tonight. And so if something happens to the relationship, who are they going to blame? You know, they're going to find somebody to blame rather than looking at the fact that, wait a minute, what's your relationship with God, not your relationship with everybody on the planet? Don't you think he'll take care of you? You know, because the person that you may be looking for may be across the globe, you know, and God may be preparing that person just for you, because just anybody can deal with you and you them. And then the last story is for that believer in a right relationship with God, that just trying to live right, talk right, walk right, you know, be real, like Tayshia's talking about. And so they go every day by that pond of water, irrespective of whether it's an owl sitting in a tree, it doesn't make a difference who's around. And they're praying to God in that genuine relationship with him who knows them. And they're just not asking God in generality. They're asking God to send them the best, because God knows that person's heart that he created. They're asking God based upon their past wounds. Don't send me somebody that's going to be deceptive. They're asking God, and there's nothing wrong with asking God for the best. Don't get caught up in the titles. Don't get caught up on how they look on the outside, what they drive, what they fly, where they live. And so they ask God in specificness what to send them for their life. And as a loving father, you know, maybe those of you who have been blessed with a loving parent or parent or mentors or grandparents or great-grandparents, whoever raised you, do you not think that God is not going to bless you that honors him, so that at least there's that joy, that peace, that happiness in your life, so that if something happens, loss of job, loss of health, loss of finances, whatever's coming to your heart and mind, the like Tayshia is talking about, that if God is in the center of your life and you know him and you're growing closer to him like you're growing closer to that two-leg person that you have been praying about, maybe scheming for, scamming for, all of that, that at least that genuine person in your life, there's somebody with you down here on earth that's going through it together while you both are going before God, knowing that the bottom line is he's your all in all. He's the one that you can depend on if everybody else fails. Tayshia, what say you? And then close this out on whatever the new topic happens to be. And thank you, listeners, for listening to Tayshia and I. But Tayshia, what say you?
Well, I definitely believe and think that how you interact with other people, it definitely will impact many aspects of your life, including your work, your stress levels, your perspective. So I do think it is important to pay attention to the different relationships that you are encountering and who you allow to be in your space. I have been learning a lot about different relationships lately, and understanding that not everyone qualifies to be in your life or qualifies to be your friend if they are not going to line up with the purpose that God has for you and the vision that you have, and they aren't living the lifestyle that is going to add value to what you are trying to accomplish in the path that you're on. You always want to surround yourself with people who are going to really add to you, not always just take from you and use you for what you have. Similar to what we talked about earlier, as far as having a relationship just because of a specific job title, I think that those are the type of relationships where it's very one-sided and there's no value really being added to the other person. It's just one person getting something out of the relationship. So I think that these stories definitely show who you should be kind of looking out for in regards to relationships and different things just to ponder and think about as you are meeting new people and creating new friendships and relationships as well. It looks like the next topic, now that we have talked about Mr. or Miss Employed from both a more general aspect and a biblical aspect as well, they're going to be talking about Miss or Mr. Intelligent, aka well-informed, on the next episode.